The United Nations warns the aid system in Gaza could collapse. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Luke Wilson in for Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Top UN aid officials are pleading with countries including the US, Germany and Japan to reconsider after they withdrew funding for its Palestinian refugee agency in Gaza. It's because of allegations Israel made that several staff at the UN Relief and Works Agency in Gaza were involved in the October 7th attack by Hamas. Gunmen killed around 1,300 people and took about 250 hostage in the attacks on Israel. The UN is investigating the allegations and has sacked several of its staff. UNRWA director Tamara Al-Rafai spoke to the BBC.
Now is not the time to slow down a humanitarian response in Gaza when UNRWA has more than 1 million people inside our own shelters. We have the largest humanitarian infrastructure in Gaza right now, and no one can replace us on such short notice.
After October 7th, Israel launched operations in Gaza, which the Hamas-run health ministry says has killed 26,700 people. Analysis seen by the BBC says more than half of Gaza's buildings have been damaged or destroyed. UN Chief Antonio Guterres has held meetings with more than 30 member states to discuss the allegations and funding withdrawal. The BBC's Nick Beek has more.
Top United Nations officials have been saying that if they don't get cash coming into the operation beyond the end of next month, they won't be able to carry out the work that they've been doing in Gaza. And they warn that that could lead to a complete collapse of the humanitarian situation there. The broader context here is that thousands of people are employed by this particular part of the United Nations, and that the work is absolutely essential. They point out that the roles of the people who are alleged to have taken part in the October the 7th atrocities have not really been unearthed yet.
Nick Beek reporting. Japanese tech giant Fujitsu has offered another apology to victims of the UK post office scandal as the company reported its latest earnings. Sub-postmasters who ran post office branches under a franchise-style model were wrongly accused of stealing money due to a faulty IT system made by the company. It's been called the biggest miscarriage of justice in UK history. The BBC's Mariko Oi has more.
Until recently, not many people in Japan were aware of the post office scandal, so today's press conference was the first time Japanese media grilled its senior executive about it. The company's chief financial officer, Takeshi Isobe, offered another apology to post office workers who were wrongly convicted. Mr. Isobe added that Fujitsu will refrain from public sector works in the UK until they see the direction of the inquiry. He's refrained from commenting too much on compensation, and he said the impact of the scandal on the company's bottom line is not yet clear.
Mariko Oi. Let's do the numbers. And Novo Nordisk, the Danish company behind the weight loss drugs Ozempic and Wegovy, has become only the second European company ever to reach a market value of $500 billion. It reported full-year profits of nearly $15 billion. And shares in the Swedish clothing giant H&M are down nearly 10% after its CEO resigned and profits for the fourth quarter missed expectations. If you're one of TikTok's 1 billion users, you may not be hearing songs from the likes of Taylor Swift and Harry Styles anymore. It's because the site didn't reach a new licensing agreement with one of the world's biggest record labels, Universal Music. It says TikTok is trying to build a music business without paying songwriters fairly. The BBC's Tom Bailey has more.
Talks between the two sides have been continuing for some time, with issues including royalty payments and the use of AI-generated music recordings proving sticking points. TikTok has said it's saddened and accused Universal of walking away from a platform that serves as a free promotional vehicle for music acts.
Tom Bailey there. From the materials they're made of, like steel and concrete, to the energy they consume, buildings often have a heavy carbon footprint. As the world targets net zero, and with no sign of construction slowing down, companies are thinking again about what materials are used. The BBC's Adrian Murray has been to Copenhagen to see some more sustainable designs.
Hidden among railway sidings in central Copenhagen stands a cluster of prototype houses and pavilions belonging to a project called Living Places.
So here you're on the second floor. You have wood panels, wood flooring.
Sinus Lunger, a founding partner at Effect Architects, shows me around a three-bedroom home. the carbon footprint has been slashed to just a third of the average Danish house.
If we had built this out of concrete, bricks or steel, you would have huge emissions in the construction.
Lone Pfeiffer, the director of sustainable building at window company Velux, says this shows we can build more sustainably now without waiting for new technologies to come along.
What we have arrived at is the ultra-low CO2 footprint, which is achieved with materials that are all available today.
Estimates suggest around 37% of CO2 emissions worldwide stem from construction. That arises from using materials like steel and cement, as well as the energy needed for heating and AC.
In an effort to reduce their climate impact, many new constructions are now turning back the clock and embracing an age-old material, wood.
So-called plyscrapers or timber tower blocks are rising up in Scandinavia and beyond. Once finished, this new waterfront office block will be Copenhagen's largest timber structure. Compared to building with concrete, it's around 10 to 15% more costly. But there are other advantages, says Mikkel Eskilsson, an associate design director at Henning Larsen Architects.
You can see here the scale of the columns and the beams. You just lift them in place. Your construction can go up super, super fast.
He says cutting back on concrete could have a big impact on global emissions.
8% comes alone from concrete. Globally, we are constructing what equals to 2 times Manhattan per month in terms of square meters. So we need to adapt, and we need to adapt fast.
Architects are now rethinking how we design the buildings of the future. And that could go a long way to tackling the industry's climate impact. In Copenhagen, I'm the BBC's Adrienne Murray for Marketplace.
That's all from us this morning. I'm Luke Wilson with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.